This is Radio Hanger. I'm Tower, and this is AATS, the news rundown for people who actually fly. Today we lead with a final report. The National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, has closed its investigation into the Bering Air accident, and the findings land squarely in territory every one of us has thought about on a cold morning: weight, ice, airspeed. The three things that don't negotiate. Here's what you need to know. According to the report, as covered by AVWeb, the aircraft was a Cessna Caravan, the single-engine turboprop workhorse that moves people and freight across some of the most unforgiving terrain in Alaska. Investigators determined the airplane was operating nearly 1,000 pounds above its maximum allowable weight for flight in icing conditions. Nearly a half ton over the line. And then it entered an aerodynamic stall. Let me sit on that number for a moment because the headline doesn't tell the whole story. That weight figure isn't the airplane's normal max gross weight, it's the reduced limit that applies specifically when you're flying in known or forecast icing. This is a distinction a lot of pilots outside the turboprop world don't fully appreciate. When ice is in the picture, the book gives you a lower ceiling, a stricter number. Because ice changes the airplane before you ever see a problem on the gauges. Before I go further, a word from the people helping bring you this rundown. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, back to that icing weight limit, because this is where the physics gets honest. Ice does two things at once, and both of them are working against you. First, it adds weight, accumulation on the wings, the tail, the fuselage, the antennas, all of it piles on pounds you didn't plan for. Second, and this is the one that kills people, ice changes the shape of the wing. It disrupts the smooth airflow the airfoil depends on. A contaminated wing stalls at a higher airspeed and a lower angle of attack than a clean one. The wing you trained on is not the wing you're flying when it's covered in rime. So put those two forces together. You're already heavy, nearly 1,000 pounds heavy for the conditions. A heavier airplane has to fly at a higher angle of attack to generate the lift it needs, especially as it slows down. And ice has already stolen part of your margin by raising the speed at which the wing will let go. The stall speed you memorized is a number from a clean airplane at a known weight. Load it up and ice it over, and that number climbs. It climbs toward the speed you're actually flying. And when those two numbers meet, the wing stops flying. That's the aerodynamic stall the NTSB cites. This affects you if you fly anything into cold, moist air. And that is most of us, at least part of the year. Here's the practical takeaway, and I want to be clear, this is the operational lesson, not speculation about the crew, because the report speaks for itself on the facts. Know your icing weight limit as a separate number from your normal gross weight. Write it down, build it into your planning before the wheels come up. If your airplane has a reduced maximum weight for icing, that limit is not a suggestion, and it is not a formality. It exists because the certification data says the airplane's ice protection systems and its stall margins were only proven up to that number, and carry more speed than you think you need in ice. A contaminated wing gives you less warning before the break. The buffet you count on, the little shutter that tells you the stall is coming, can be muted or gone entirely on an iced wing. By the time the airplane tells you, it may have already decided. There's a second layer here worth naming. This was an Alaska operation, and Alaska flying carries pressures the lower 48 doesn't always see, short daylight, weather that turns on a dime, communities that depend on that airplane showing up, freight and passengers that need to move. None of that changes the aerodynamics. The wing does not know why you loaded it. It only knows how much it's carrying and how clean it is. The NTSB's job is to find cause, not to assign blame in the way people sometimes assume. When they cite airspeed and weight, they're handing the rest of us a lesson written in the plainest possible terms. Two things you can measure, two things you can control on the ground before you ever launch. So what should you actually do with this report? Pull your own aircraft's flight manual this week. Find the icing limitation section. Confirm you know whether your airplane has a reduced weight limit for flight in icing. And if it does, what that number is. Then look at how you actually load for a typical winter trip and ask yourself, honestly, whether you've ever brushed up against it without knowing. Not to scare you, to make the number real before the weather does. And if you fly a caravan or any single-engine turboprop into ice for a living, none of this is new to you. But the reminder still matters, because these accidents almost never come from a pilot who didn't know the rule. They come from a day when the schedule, the load, and the weather all pushed the same direction, and the margin that was supposed to be there had already been spent. That's the story. Weight, ice, and airspeed, and the way those three always seem to show up together. My thanks to AVWeb for the reporting on the NTSB's final report. You can find more at radiohanger.com. This is Tower. Fly the clean wing numbers, respect the icing limit, and I'll see you on the next ATIS.